The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
This has really been a revealing past 24 hours in what is happening in America, in politics, and with our media. And as always, I am happy to be along with you to chronicle all of it because things are getting really bizarre. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the big show. And yes, we have a very busy news afternoon ahead of us. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Well, first of all, let's reference CBS News there at the top of the hour that now 1 million people have died from COVID under Joe Biden. 1 million deaths. This was the reason he supposedly got swept into the White House, because of his promise that if you elected old Joe, that COVID would be a worry no more.
What I would say is I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country.
I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus. I'll shut down the virus, not the economy.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
Once we shut down the virus,
I'm going to shut down the virus.
You're going to shut down the virus.
I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
Hey, funny thing happened. He not only did not shut down the virus, but he has shut down the country. He did the opposite of everything he said he was going to do. He's bizarro, Joe. So we see what's happening. We have millions of illegals coming across the border. The CDC released another grim statistic after we got off the air yesterday. In 2021... 107,000 young Americans died from drug overdoses, most of it fentanyl, most of it coming across our wide-open southern border. Let me put that in some perspective for you. That is the equivalent of a 9/11 worth of deaths every 10 days in America. Now, you know how our country was moved to action, some of it outrageously so, but we were moved to action because of the 3,000 people who were killed on 9/11. Well, now under Joe Biden's watch, we have a 9/11 worth of drug deaths every 10 days in America. And the solution, and Jay Inslee is a huge part of this problem, because after they get across our wide open southern border, many of them come to our wide open sanctuary state. And that's why we have so many drug overdose deaths here in Washington. That's why we have so many gangs that are killing each other, young black and brown people, many of them, children killing each other. Because they're the ones being recruited to sell the drugs. The 107,000 deaths, which is a shattering of last year's then-considered shocking drug overdose death record of 93,000. I mean, it's not even close in 2021 now. But that doesn't count the thousands of young black and brown people who are dying in street drug gang crimes. So you can add many thousand more to that total. So what Jay Inslee and Joe Biden have done is they have this cabal of death that is rolling over Washington State and across America with a 9/11 every 10 days in our state and in our country. I guess when Joe Biden talked about shutting down COVID, he had, like everything else, he had the exact opposite effect. Everything Joe Biden touches turns to bleep. And what is his answer to all of this? Well, this is where it really gets scary. Because yesterday, again, this was after we got off the air yesterday, Joe Biden like a lot of people with dementia, he just started yelling incoherently. And it was really bizarre to watch. But this is him in Illinois, and he was talking about the food prices and the gas prices. And apparently he doesn't realize that it's all his fault because he just started randomly yelling out about food prices. And this was literally, these were the ravings of a madman.
Remember those long lines you'd see in a television? People lining up in all kinds of vehicles just to get a box of food in their trunk. How quickly we forget. People were hurting. And what did the MAGA crowd want to do? Forget it. Forget it. God, this is the United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour, hour and a half to get a box of food in their trunk. It's just unbelievable.
Nobody knew what he was talking about. Screaming about people waiting an hour and a half to get a box of food in their trunk. If that's true, that's all under your watch, Joe. And then he said the MAGA crowd just wanted to go along with it or ignore it. None of it made sense. And so then after that, they asked Joe Biden, hey, can you explain that food in the trunk and MAGA crowd story that you were just telling all of us? And here was Joe Biden trying to explain that story.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war.
So that's why he was yelling about putting food in trunks, he said. I still am having trouble making the connection, but somehow in Joe's old mind, it all makes sense. And then he decided this MAGA thing is a new saying that he's going to use regularly on the campaign trail.
The deficit increased every single year he's president. The first year of my presidency, I reduced the deficit.
And he calls him the great MAGA king and said he reduced the deficit his first year, which the Washington Post has said is absolutely a lie because, yes, the deficit went down from an all-time record during the COVID year, but it was expected to go down $800 billion, and it only went down $300 billion under Joe because he was spending so much. So we're seeing an absolute meltdown with the president of the United States. But the media has now gotten fully involved once again in trying to heavily manipulate an election because the media sees the Democrats slipping away in the midterms. And so a little plot has been hatched. Some clerk at the Supreme Court would release a preliminary paper about how the SCOTUS may view Roe versus Wade. And with that, the media would then talk about nothing else. The media will ignore everything to do with illegals coming across our southern border. They will ignore the record gas prices, the record food prices. They'll ignore the fact that gasoline in most areas of our state up over $5 a gallon now. They'll ignore that most families have lost $6,000 to $8,000 because of the taxation that is Biden inflation. that families are getting destroyed right now, that work is not being rewarded because you're spending way more than you did 2 years ago. The media will ignore all of those things to try to prop up the media's party. And so the SCOTUS leak is playing in perfect alignment with the media needing a distraction. And so now it is abortion. And our fine congresswoman from Seattle, Pamela Jayapal, she was leading a chant in the U.S. Capitol building yesterday. By the way, could anybody really not hear them? My body, my, are they saying position, physician, decision? I can't, they need to enunciate, but it's my body, my position, or maybe it's decision. But I like the woman who clearly can hear them, but keeps saying, I can't hear you. So then they yell a little louder because that's what sheep do. I can't hear you. Bah! Okay. Well done.
I can't hear you. My body. My decision. My body. My decision. My body.
I guess it's decision.
My decision.
My body.
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 My decision.
Man, where have I heard that before?
Oh, PSC, Dennis Patone, is that clear?
Aye, sir.
I can't hear you. Aye, sir.
So we got Sergeant Carter is leading the women in the House, and Pamela Jayapal and her ilk, they're the Gomer Piles in this scenario. It's really quite a scene. Am I saying that correctly? Is it Pamela Jayapal? People always send me angry emails, but you're all the ones who are wrong, and I'm the one that's right. Aren't I, Mr. President?
Pamela Jayapal.
Okay, yeah, I'm the one who's right about this. So I think that we should get Sergeant Carter being the women of Congress. That's better. That's the way it should be right there. So that's what we got going on. We got this, the great media distraction is underway. The SCOTUS draft ruling that may or may not say what everybody thinks it's going to say this summer, that'll affect nothing here in Washington. You got Pamela Jayapal, whose constituents will be completely unaffected by this because Washington is not going to ban abortion. But she's the one who's marching in the halls screaming, my body, my incision, or physician, or decision, or something. I can't understand a word Pamela says. I can't even understand when she says her own name. Because for years, I thought she was saying Pramila, but we all know that I was wrong about that.
Pamela Jayapal.
So then we got Sergeant Carter leading the women in the House. We got Abe Simpson running the country, talking about food in trunks. It is really off the deep end Bizarroville right now. And closer to home, one story that I'm going to tell you about right after we check the news at the bottom of the hour. Another big battleground has been for our kids. The schools have been taking away parental rights, telling parents how they must raise their kids. In the Marysville School District, they actually have struck a blow for the parents. They said, hey, if kids want to participate in any extracurricular activity after school, they have to have a permission slip. Now, that's true if the kid wants to play football, if he wants to play basketball or wrestling, or if he wants to be part of an extracurricular club. And one of the popular extracurricular clubs is LGBTQ. And Marysville said, for any activity after school, on school grounds, you need to have a parental permission slip. for sports, for the LGBTQ club, for everything. And now some people are saying, that's outrageous, that discriminates against gay kids. No, it just says every kid needs a parental permission slip. A state rep named Emily Wicks, who lives in the district, she says, this will tear families apart if parents are actively involved in their kids' extracurriculars.
If you can't stop, please stop serving in this role. Stop working toward policy that harms children that don't conform to rigid gender stereotypes and antiquated gender expectations. Stop using school boards to pretend you are family first when actions like this destroy families, create divides, and put our youth at risk.
These poor school boards, if they have policies where they say you must ignore the parents' desires, then the parents get furious. If they say we must have parental permission slips, then they get outraged, saying that you're trying to discriminate against the gay kids who may not want to tell their parents that they're attending the LGBTQ club. The school boards can't win, and the students, of course, they've been trained exactly what to say, and it's always anti-parent and pro-government control of their lives.
Potentially could endanger their relationship or even their home life with their parents.
I think that there are lots of kids who, while they should be able to talk to their parents, can't.
Yes, I think communication with parents is a horrible thing. Now, the school should have no part in that. We're in bizarro world, man, in every way. I'm going to talk to a member of the Marysville School Board about that coming up in just a moment here. But for now, that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you, and they'll talk to the Marysville School Board about their, I guess, controversial policy that says they need parental permission slips for kids to do extracurriculars. That's just common sense to me. But the activists are saying, no, that'll hurt the gay kids. See what the school board has to say in defense of themselves next here on the Dory Monson Show. One of the big complaints that we've all been hearing from parents across the country is that they are being excluded from their kids' lives when their kids are at school. A local school district seems to be addressing that concern and actually getting parents more involved. And now the school district is being widely panned for the parental involvement. I tell you, they just can't win either way. Up in the Marysville School District, they have said that kids should have parental permission slips so the kids can participate in after-school activities. How in the world can this be so controversial? Kiara actually is a member of the Marysville School Board. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Kiara, it's good to talk to you again. Appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, okay. So, because I haven't heard anybody on the school board. I've heard an awful lot of media commentary on this, but I haven't heard anybody on the school board side present your perspective on this. So what are you doing that is inspiring some controversy here?
We had our first reading on Monday, May 9th, for a policy to be updated to state that non-curricular and co-curricular clubs will require parental permission from kindergarten through K through 12.
Okay. That doesn't sound very controversial, that you would simply ask parents for permission so their kids can come and stay on campus for non-curricular activities. Why is this becoming such a hot-button issue?
Because we are being accused of attacking the LGBTQ community and the clubs that would be happening.
So the argument is that since some of these after-school activities are LGBTQ-oriented, that asking for a parental permission slip means the kid has to out him or herself to their parent to get that permission slip? Is that what they're saying?
That is the argument, yes.
Okay, and what is you, and either you as an individual or the board's response to that argument?
The response is that it's not about removing anyone's rights or outing any child. That would hopefully not have to happen at all or put them in a dangerous situation. That's not absolutely not what we want. but our stance is that parents need to be involved. We need parents involved and to know they deserve the right. They have the right to know where their children are at all times. It's absolutely necessary that we allow that involvement and not only allow it, but encourage the involvement of parents.
Yeah, this whole controversy it's very strange to me because our girls are grown now, but my wife and I, we like to keep track of where our girls were, who they were with, what activities they were doing. We wanted them to be spending their time as productively as possible, and we just saw that as a role, as good involved parents, that we would try to be aware of what our kids are doing at any given time. I'm trying to figure out how that has become such a controversial issue just a few years later here.
Yeah, I don't understand. And, you know, there's this assumption that parents aren't involved. They don't show up, you know, to volunteer in classes. And, you know, we're fighting for that on one hand. And then the other, we're saying, no parental consent is not needed. Parents don't need to be involved in what their children are doing. It doesn't make sense that can even be an argument or an upset. There would be creating such an uproar that we are encouraging parents to be involved and to have the ability to know where their children are at all times.
Well, in fact, I saw a comment on one of the newscasts from a state rep who's also a parent in your district there in Marysville. Her name is Emily Wicks, and she said that your board is endangering vulnerable youth. Her quote is, "Stop working towards policy that harms children that don't conform to gender expectations. Stop using school boards to pretend you are family first when actions like this destroy families and put our youth at risk." So the state rep's position is that your school board is putting families at risk by asking for more parental involvement in their kids' lives.
I absolutely do not see how that makes sense, but it sounds kind of contradictory to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me try to play devil's advocate. So what she's saying is there's a gay kid, 14 years old, wants to go to an after-school LGBTQ club. Parents don't know that he's gay. He doesn't want to tell the parents that he's gay, and now he has to come out to his family in order to get permission to the club. And they're saying that that is unfair to the kid. So what do you say to that?
I say my fear is the danger. What danger does put the child in if he's that scared to tell his parents if they find out he's in this club? What risk does that put the district at? Is there legal responsibility? Is that up for a lawsuit? Are we, you know, if parents don't know about the child and where they are, what if they become injured either mentally, emotionally, or physically? Would it open us as a district to lawsuits? I don't believe that we should be harming any child, but also I don't ever want a child to feel like they are hiding and don't have a place. They have no one to support them. Potentially their parents will support them.
But right. That's,
you know, and if my child were to want to be in a club or was gay, transgender, bisexual, I would want to know so he could know that I support him. He has my support. If that were the case, I'm not going, you know, no matter what. And I think a sense of belonging in your own family is probably most important.
There's also a quote from Kendrick Washington, director of policy for the ACLU. And he said, "For the parents, maybe this comes as a news flash. Banning books about LGBT youth in school, not allowing kids to attend clubs, is not going to make your child heterosexual." Is the board banning books there as well?
No, Dory, we're not banning books. We're not banning LGBTQ clubs either. It has nothing to do specifically with LGBTQ clubs or safe places for children.
Yeah, this seemed like a bit of a stretch to me on his part to tie parental. I mean, it's just, this whole thing's so silly because just the notion that parents being more involved in their kids' life is a negative thing. And that's what has to be sold to make their position on all of this. And a school board saying, we want parents and kids to communicate more, that is somehow viewed as a negative. We really are in bizarro world right now when that's the criticism.
Yes. And it's really disheartening to see that, you know, we're being made out to be attacking a specific group of children at all. And my stance is we need more parental involvement. We need to not be taking parents' rights away from them. And by requesting parental permission for any non-curricular, co-curricular clubs, we are being inclusive of and respecting parents' rights. Also, our schools should be a safe place. Our schools, every classroom, everywhere in that class, a child, no matter if they're gay, black, white, whatever it may be, all children should be safe at school. That should be their safe place. And if we can't be inclusive to that in the classroom, what are we doing?
So one last question for you. Are these parental permission slips mandatory? If a kid showed up at one of these clubs without the parental permission slip, would they be turned away?
We have not set that policy in place. I don't believe that that's the case. I'm sure there's got to be some extenuating circumstances. We have counselors. We have, you know, people hired in the district to determine those things. Nurses, if there's a situation, we should know each child individually. But there hasn't been an approval. There hasn't been an actual policy change to create these different circumstances that might come about, right?
You're just discussing it, and they're trying to preemptively get this policy stricken before it's even voted on.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's all clubs across the board. And legally for the district, all clubs should require parental permission.
Well, I when I was coaching in the public high schools, every kid who turned out for my basketball program, they had to have a parental permission slip signed. I mean, that was not negotiable. That was not even an issue. They weren't allowed to, for whatever, I mean, why somebody would have to go behind their parents' back to play basketball, I don't know. But I know that we had to have a signed parental permission slip. If that was true for my basketball team and every team in Wesco, because I coached in your district in Wesco that Marysville's a part of, I don't know why that wouldn't be true of any other after-school activity. This really strikes me as a not just a silly debate, but a dangerous one to say that some groups should be able to make an end around parents while all other groups mandatory have to have the parental signature. This is all quite confusing to me.
Correct. So when the discussion came up of whether or not we should be requiring parental permission, we, you know, sought legal advice. And it was like, well, absolutely. You can't discriminate against one club versus the other or one curricular activity versus the other. It should be across the board. Or you're playing with fire.
Yeah, understood. All right, Kiara, well, I appreciate you coming on and explaining this to me. And let's stay in touch. I want to hear how the final votes go down, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, Kiara, actually, member of the Marysville School Board, which is under fire because they say the kids need parental permission slips to attend extracurricular, non-curriculum activities in after school. So what do you think about all this? You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-5476. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party
is done. How embarrassing is it for you, Andrew, when you ask me, what are you talking about in the next segment? And I say tick-tock. And you say, ah, I wish we had a song for that. How embarrassing is it that a 60-year-old man has to tell you, a 24-year-old kid, about the song TikTok?
Well, I know a little bit. I know about the song. I was thinking more like a song that people would know from TikTok more than a song that's called TikTok.
I know. It's all I had. I was trying to sound hip. I was trying to sound relevant for one time in my life. Can't you just give that to me?
I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah, you got it on that one, Dory.
Okay, got it. Now the reason the story with the Marysville school board member was so important, if you're just joining us, I just talked to a Marysville school board member. They are under fire because kids have to have parental signed notes to do extracurricular clubs and activities on campus, which seems entirely reasonable because it's a good thing to have parents more involved in kids' lives. But the activists have rolled in and said, no, because the kids may not want to tell their parents that they're going to the LGBTQ2S+LS community club, and that's discriminatory. But they just want to cut parents out of kids' lives, is this battle that's going on. Government wants to control your kids, not have parents have control. That was the reason why they had such a tsunami sweep over Virginia, because parents said, enough of government controlling our own kids. We're capable of it as parents. Let me give you some more examples. So here is a Colorado mom who says that her daughter was invited by a teacher to a secret gender equity club or gender sexual awareness club. And the teacher said, don't let your mom know, but I'm inviting you to this club. And these parents are saying, wait a second, teachers are telling our kids to do things behind our backs? Here we go. Oh, Colorado mom.
One day, her trusted art and homeroom teacher invited her to stay after school for art club. So she texted us and we gave our permission. Of course, you can stay for art club. When she arrived in the classroom that day, she very quickly learned that it was actually GSA art club, or gender and sexuality awareness. And her trusted teacher had invited in an outside presenter to speak with the children. This presenter started with her number one rule: what you hear in here stays in here. She then brought out flags to describe different umbrella terms, or defining words, as she called them, and how people feel under each of the flags. She explained to my daughter that if she is not 100% comfortable in her female body, then she's transgender. She then gave out flags, stickers, bracelets, and what she called the obligatory toys that kids love to collect everywhere I go. She then told the kids that parents aren't safe, and that it's okay to lie to them about where they are in order to attend this meeting and also future programming that she holds throughout the community.
Yeah, so we have people in the schools telling kids, you should lie to your parents, and your parents cannot be trusted. This is the great battleground in America right now between the family and the destructive humans who are trying to destroy the family. It's pretty clear. And they're doing the right thing in Marysville. I don't say that about government agencies very often, but they're doing the right thing there on the Marysville School Board. Okay, we'll check the news for you. And then the Fastest 15 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.